Important dates in Christian history. 1054. Tensions between the East and the West had been brewing for centuries. But when negotiations between Rome and Constantinople went sour, both sides excommunicated each other, and the divide between Catholicism and Orthodoxy remains to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm at Georgia State College, I think. There's a young man who seems to be listening to his fancy schmancy iPod. Hey, young man, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm doing... Thanks. You know what? Nobody usually asks. Thanks for asking.
No problem.
Can I ask you another question on the radio today?
Sure.
What are you listening to?
The Little Things by Danny Elfman.
He is...
Normally he's just like a composer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't... Is he... What style of music?
Does a lot of movies.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So what type of music is that you're listening to?
Well, this is rock.
Oh, it's rock and roll.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you keep calling me sir. How come? You're very polite. What's the deal? What's up with you?
Well, you're an adult, so I should call you sir.
Even that was polite. You must be from the South.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, that's kind of... Or the military, one of the two.
No, the South.
Just from the South. And your parents, did they insist that you sir and ma'am people?
Yes, sir.
When you were young, did you have to call kids Mr. and Mrs. instead of by their first name?
Kids?
No, the parents of your friends.
Oh, yeah.
They were Mr. Johnson or...
Yes, sir.
Whatever. Okay, interesting. Now, I'm just going to make a guess about you.
Okay.
Southern Baptist.
Well, Methodist. You're close.
Well, not if you asked a Southern Baptist, but okay, so you're a Methodist.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if nothing else, I've learned today that Methodists raise up their kids to be very polite.
I guess so.
All right. Did your parents raise you up to believe in their God?
I guess.
So are you following the Methodist religion?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Tell me, why should I consider following the Methodist teachings? I'm inviting you.
Okay.
To give me the most compelling message of Methodism.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess the most compelling message for me is probably not going to be the same for you. So I guess, you know, you got to look into it yourself and see what you like.
All right. Well, I'm asking you.
Okay.
In fact, here, how's about this? Okay. We'll try another scenario.
All right.
Young man.
Yes, sir.
I've just come from the doctor's office. I have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I could go down any minute, frankly. I'm scared to die. I'm very concerned about that. Cancer is consuming my body, and I don't know how many more breaths that I have. You're a Methodist. I think they teach something about the afterlife.
Right.
What could you tell me that might help me?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, if you find religion, you know, you'll find some sort of inner peace. And you won't be afraid.
But that's not helping me. You haven't told me anything that is helping me to have peace. I'm asking you, give me peace. Can you help me with that?
Probably not.
Really?
I mean, I'm not someone who's so well-versed that I could help someone.
Okay. All right. So why are you a Methodist?
It's just what my parents were, so, you know, but they never pushed me because I, you know, go to my friends' churches and, you know, I just like mine better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're kind of going with it because you like it.
Yeah.
Okay. The afterlife.
Okay.
Let's roll reverse.
All right.
Okay, do your best acting. Pretend you're dying. I'll be the Methodist sitting on the bench. Go.
Okay. I'm dying.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know why people die?
I don't.
The Bible says, the soul that sins, it shall die.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everything dies. Because the Bible teaches that we sin, and we're under the curse of death.
Right.
Because we are sinners. Do you think you're a sinner?
I've sinned before, yes, sir.
Yeah. What makes a sin a sin? Do you know?
Just doing something bad.
And what is bad is when we do something contrary to the will of God. So when we lie...
Mm-hmm.
That's against God's will, because he is truth, and he wants us to be truth tellers. But when we lie, we sin against God by mangling the truth.
Right.
What is a sin is lawlessness. It's breaking God's laws.
Mm-hmm.
Have you broken God's laws?
Before, yes, sir.
For instance, have you looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because Jesus said if you do that, you're an adulterer at heart, which is a violation of the seventh commandment.
Right.
Okay. Have you ever dishonored your parents in any way?
Yes, sir.
You know, we're supposed to honor our mother and father, so when we don't, They're God's representatives. We sin against God.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever murdered anybody?
No, sir.
Have you ever been angry with somebody driving down a road and thought they were a complete bonehead because they have no driving skills?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because Jesus said if you do that, inside of your brain, you're in danger of the judgment, because God doesn't just judge what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we think,
right.
What's going on inside of our brain. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No, sir.
You're sure?
Yes, sir.
Any OMGs or anything careless about
Jesus' name? I try real
Jesus'
hard not
name?
To.
Because if you ever use God's name carelessly, or you call yourself a Methodist,
mm-hmm.
but the world sees your lying or your lusting
right.
or your anger, and they go, wow, some Christian. That actually blasphemes God's name, too.
Right.
All right. So you're a sinner. Friend, that's why you're going to die. Because you, too, are under the curse of death. Because
yes,
you've broken the law. And that's why you're scared. Because there's something inside of your head, your conscience, that says, uh-oh, I've done wrong. And when I face God, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's why you're scared, and that's why you're going to die. Now, have you ever heard what God did so that you do not have to go to hell?
Send Jesus.
Why did he send Jesus?
For God so loved the world, that whole thing.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah, that's the one.
Jesus, God himself,
mm-hmm.
loves you. But he sees that you're in trouble. The Father is angry at you because you've broken his laws and you're under the curse of death and sin.
Yes.
Jesus came to fulfill all of the laws to break the curse so that you might live and have your sins forgiven and be in a right relationship with God. Jesus took the punishment you deserved, kept all the laws that you have broken so that you can be reconciled to God. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus paid your fine. My dying friend, and you are dying, by the way. We're not even role-playing. You are dying.
Yes, sir.
You're going to go down like the rest of us. God's going to call your number and kill you someday.
Yes, sir.
Because he's sustaining your life. And when he decides, I'm not going to sustain you anymore, you will die.
Yes, sir.
And you will be judged. And if you do not have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ credited to your account, he will send you to hell because he must, because he is just.
Right.
But he's rich in mercy, and he desires to save you. And the goodness of Jesus can be credited to your account if you'll repent, turn from your sins, say you're sorry, and put your trust in Jesus and him alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible promises when you do that, you will no longer be under the curse of death. God will, he'll kill you, but he's going to take you to be with him because all of your sins will be forgiven. He'll grant you everlasting life because of what Jesus did on your behalf. So whether you die today or in 40 years, make sure that you're reconciled to God by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And that way, you'll no longer be afraid of death. Because you don't have to fear death because Jesus has conquered death for you.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to you if you asked me that question.
That was pretty good.
Now, here's my question for you, young
yes,
man. Because this is important.
Okay.
Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
Yes, sir.
When?
A few years ago.
Okay. Are you sure? I don't even want you to answer it.
Okay.
Because I'm not your judge.
Right.
I'm a complete stranger on a bench at your school.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says examine yourself and see if you're in the truth, okay?
Okay.
And it's been my experience when somebody doesn't immediately know what the gospel is and what the major emphasis of Christianity is, it suggests
mm-hmm.
that maybe they haven't experienced it themselves.
Right.
Because if I came up on this bench and said, have you ever been in a car accident where your life was spared? Has that ever happened to you where you were almost in a big wreck?
No, sir.
If it ever happens, you'll never forget it.
Right.
Because it's just,
yeah.
Wow, it's traumatic. This is the same thing, where you actually die to yourself, and God makes you born again. You come to the place where you realize, I'm not good, I've been very wicked, and I'm very sorry. And you turn from your sins, and you put your trust in his Son. It's a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never forget that. You don't have to know the second or the minute, but you should remember the season where God saved you and brought you into his family.
Yes, sir.
So do what the Bible says. Examine yourself. See if you're in the truth. Are you living for the Lord? Is he your number one affection? Are you in his word because you desire to know him? See if you're in the faith. And if not, then make your calling and election sure. Spend some time thinking about your sins, and then think about what Jesus did to save you. And you should turn to him, not because you're scared of hell, but because the God of the universe died to save you from hell. And you should turn to him not in fear, but in tears, because that God loves you and wants you to have your sins forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, my Methodist friend. Thanks for the chat.
All right. You have a great
day.
All right.
See you. Okay. Tell your parents they did a good job.
Yes,
sir. All right. All righty. The classes were just let out. We are at Georgia State College. Yep, it's right there on the sign. It's like a Cliff's Notes or a cheat sheet for me up on the poles here, the lampposts. They've got their little flags, Gainesville State College. Hey, dude, what's the mascot here for the athletic?
Geese, goose.
You're kidding
Fighting
me.
Fighting geese, yeah.
No. No, serious.
Yeah, it is.
Fighting geese?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a geese fight?
No.
A goose fight? All right. Thanks, man. Wow. Although I think Jan Hus would like that name. And he was a bit of a fighting goose, was he not? Who got it cooked in the end? Oh, wow. And no wonder why. See, when you go into downtown Georgia, actually in a lot of places in Georgia, you see the Georgia Bulldogs from Athens, and you get to see the Bulldog logo everywhere because it's a bulldog. I don't think I've ever seen a fighting goose. What is that? It's like the Affleck guy. I'm sorry, Gainesville State College. You might want to have some sort of meeting and rethink the logo or the mascot here. We are at Gainesville State College, and it appears that the classes have just been let out, and we've got ourselves a new fishing hole. Came here today to do reconnaissance. Turns out we might have ourselves a new spot, although there's two police officers who just walked out of the student center. Uh-oh. Alrighty. Well, this might be the end of the gig here at Gainesville State College. We'll find out together as we continue, maybe, on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs, you know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether you're married, needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Lamentations is a book of poems written by Jeremiah.
After the fall of Jerusalem, they are marked by weeping, woes, and affliction. But even in sorrow, Jeremiah praises God. He proclaims God's justice, cries out to God for mercy, and confesses his faith in God. Lamentations teaches us a godly way to express sorrow and grow in the midst of loss. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio at Gainesville State College of Georgia. All right, now I'm going to do something, frankly, really, really dumb. There's two girls sitting at a table who are really engaged in their computer, but let's see if we can get something going with these two. All right, ladies, I'm sorry. Don't close. I'm intrigued. What are you laughing about? What's so funny?
I was watching a video of one of my bands.
Ah, of one of your bands. And it was funny?
Yeah.
Oh.
They were drunk.
Ah, they were drunk, and so it was funny.
Yep.
All right, are you guys leaving right now?
Yeah, I'm about to.
You're about okay. Because here's let me tell you why I'm here. This is my first time on the campus, and I'm coming here because I'm trying to see if there's people who are willing to talk about the subject that used to be considered taboo, and that is the subject of religion. To ask people what they believe about God, and I'm trying to figure out if this is like a good place to do that, and it seems like it is because I've talked to several people, mm-hmm. and they've been willing to be pretty open about talking about what they believe or what they don't believe. Mm-hmm. So let me ask y'all, because this is the South, what do you believe about God in the afterlife? What do you believe, young lady?
I don't know. I just believe that you go somewhere happy afterwards.
Does everybody go someplace happy?
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden, will he go someplace happy?
He's kind of happy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of happy. You're a postmodern. Did you know that?
No.
Do you know what postmodernism is?
No.
This is postmodernism. Postmodernism says that you can believe in, let's say that you believe that you're going to go to a place. What would be heaven for you? Describe your heaven. What did you say? 72 guys for you?
No.
No. Okay. So what would be heaven for you?
For me, I get to do martial arts all the time and listen to Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay. And then Osama bin Laden would go to be with 72 virgins. Now, you wouldn't say that he's wrong. You would just say that's truth for him. Your truth is your truth. It's completely different than his truth, but both truths are valid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That makes you a postmodern.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if it's truth, then it's neither right nor wrong, so it's not truth.
It's say that again, because you lost me.
Okay, truth means there has to be a wrong, right? So if it's a truth, but they're both right, then it's not technically a truth.
What color is your shirt?
It's black.
It's not white, is it?
No.
Okay. So the truth is, it's a black shirt, and if I called it a white shirt, it would be wrong.
Right.
Okay. So if you believe something completely opposite of somebody, just because it's in the spiritual realm, it would either be right or... So, for instance, you believe that heaven is... What did you just... You go into where to listen to whom?
Oh, that's not what I believed heaven is, but that would be really cool.
Okay. But if Osama bin Laden believes that it's something else, then one of you would be wrong, one of you would be right, or both of you would be wrong, but you can't both be right.
Exactly.
All right. Here's what I believe. All right. I believe that Jesus Christ... is the way, the truth, the life. Osama bin Laden is wrong. No paradise with 72 virgins. I believe that...
That's a little extreme.
Okay, I think that the Buddhists are wrong, and the Hindus are wrong, the Muslims are wrong. Only Jesus Christ is the true and living God, and only He can forgive sinners and reconcile them to God the Father and inherit eternal life through Him. Okay, that's what I believe. Mm-hmm. Do you think I'm wrong?
No.
Do you think I'm right?
No.
So then you think I'm wrong?
No.
Then I must be right.
No.
You're a postmodern. Okay, let me just leave you with the thoughts, you guys.
Okay.
All right. I'm either right or wrong.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so it would be better for you to say, I think you're wrong, sir, than to say you're right in your own brain, because there's a name for that. It's called kooky. When you think that you make something up in your brain and you think that you're right. Either Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or He's not. Fair enough?
Okay.
So my question for you is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life?
No.
So you don't think that He's actually who He claimed to be?
No.
So if it's true that when we die, there's cosmic justice, and somehow every wrong, it has to be given an account. So for all of the wrongs that you have done, the things that you've done that are wrong, whether it's lying or stealing or cheating or lusting or sexual sins or not honoring your parents... The things that you've done that have been bad, how will those things be dealt with in the afterlife? Will there be any sense of justice? Let me put it this way. If God causes you to give an account for the crimes that you've committed against him by lying or lusting or, sorry, drunkenness or whatever, okay? What would God do with you if you do not have your sins forgiven by Jesus, who died on a cross to be the punishment, the payment for your sins? If you don't have his goodness credited to your account and your sins forgiven, what will God do with you?
What does Christians believe?
No, you're doing it now. Now you're doing the postmodern thing.
Oh, I'm not postmodern. It's just like...
But you're Miss Right or Wrong.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
If what I'm saying to you is right, and God's going to judge you, mm-hmm. what will he do with you?
I'd go to hell.
What would he do with you?
I believe that you would deal with the problems here, and that afterlife is just fine.
That big old oak tree. I think that's... What is that tree, anyway?
That's a very big tree.
It's a big one. That tree falls over. You get caught in the chair. You don't escape. Bang. It kills you.
Mm-hmm.
You die. You stand before God himself. There you are. The books are open on your life. Every thought you've ever thunk, every word you've ever uttered, every deed done in darkness is brought into the light.
Okay.
What would he do with you?
He'd make me write an essay.
That's exactly
you might
what he's going to do.
Think that thing. Well, he may be custom designs hell for everybody, and it could be writing essays for all of eternity.
Geez.
But he would have to punish you, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if Jesus is right, that you will be judged by God, right now as you sit here, you better hope that tree doesn't fall on your noggin, right? Because you would be going to hell.
Right. But isn't that like just plain old fear, God scaring them into believing?
But that assumes that fear is bad.
How is fear not bad?
Oh, you have fear regularly. You slam on the brakes when you're afraid that you're going to hit
somebody.
Yeah,
that's scary.
That's right. And facing God as a sinner is scary.
That's scary. Okay.
It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's okay to be scared. Right? Fear is good. If it awakens you to the danger.
I'm trying to understand this logic that's like saying, okay, it's okay if I walk down the street even though there are creepy people around. It's okay to be afraid.
Well, if God is true and real, and he's going to judge you, and he's going to punish lawbreakers, and he's powerful, and he's angry at sin because it's such an offense against him, then it's wise to be afraid. But it doesn't have to stop there. That fear can you awaken you to the beginning of wisdom. What must I do to not receive the wrath of God would be then the question that I'd ask. Okay, if God is going to punish sinners, then has he provided an out for me? Has he provided a savior so that I don't have to go to hell? That would be then a good question to ask, and fear would have led you to that. And that would be okay, wouldn't it?
I guess. This sounds exactly what I've heard in church all my life.
But you reject it.
I'm very confused about it. I don't know whether to accept it or not, because it sounds very monotonous and forced.
Then maybe this will help, and I'll leave you guys so you can be on your way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you have been confused by people like me, where they're trying to encourage you to become a Christian so that you don't go to hell. And
thanks.
They've done hellfire preaching at you. I'm not trying to do that. I am saying you should be scared of hell because it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible thing. Nobody wants to go to hell. It's a scary place. But you should turn to God, not because you're afraid of hell, but because God has provided for you a way to escape hell. And God's kindness should lead you to say, wow, if I deserve hell, but Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, took the punishment, he took the hell that I deserve for me because he loves me, then I want that God because he's good. Not because I'm scared of hell, but because he's been so kind to save me from hell. And you shouldn't want to delay, because it's not like I'm playing some sort of Russian roulette with my eternity and I'll just wait until the end and say I'm sorry and then I'll get out of hell. But you should want to turn to him because it's like, wow, God loves me enough to save me, to take the punishment I deserve. If he's that good, then I want him because of his mercy, his grace, his kindness, and his love for me, a sinner. And it should be an offer of kindness that leads you to turn to him in repentance, saying you're sorry, and putting your trust in his son, because there's nothing better. What is better than knowing the one who loved you enough to die for you? I personally have thought about it a lot, and I can't think of anything. Eating a really great piece of watermelon that's cold on a hot day doesn't even come close to knowing the God of the universe who died to save sinners. So it's an offer of kindness. So maybe if it's been confusing in the past that it sounded like the old hellfire business, hell is real. It's true. It's going to happen. But you should repent and trust his son because he loves you and he died to save you and you can be in a right relationship with him and there's nothing better than that. So I'm walking away from your lovely shaded table here, leaving you to think about that. Is that fair?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And please do this, my postmodern friends. Don't let me walk away and say, well, that's nice for that guy. I'm glad it works for that guy. Or that's his truth. No. What I've said is either true or it's false. If it's false, you've got no worries today. If it's true, you're in big trouble. But the good news is God loves sinners, and he loves you, and he wants to save you, and he proved it by dying on a cross for you while you were yet sinning. Okay? So it's either true or false, either reject it outright, and good luck on Judgment Day, or repent and put your trust in his son because it's true. Fair enough?
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fair enough? All right. So now do you want to explain the drunken band business?
No, it's just... okay, no. This big band.
You don't... What is that?
This is Avenged Sevenfold. And I was watching a video of them. So they're like this big metal band.
Ah, they're your favorite band.
Yes. They're not a band I'm in or someone else.
They're your Guns N' Roses.
Yes, they're my Guns N' Roses.
See ya. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.